Praise you, Jesus. Father's Day 2025. Amen. Glory to God. Today we're going to talk about how we can bring honor to our fathers. Now, you know, the word commands us to honor our father and mother, you know, that it may go well with us. But God started showing me something a little interesting and in a way that kind of blessed me. Because, I mean, I'm sure as everybody here knows, I mean, I've never met my father. I don't know who he is. There's all kinds of speculations surrounding my life and how I got born and who my father is and everything. And even my wife has some ideas. But in all honesty, I have no idea. You know, I don't know if he's in heaven. I don't know what happened to him. And yet, even for me, God really kind of ministered to me, you know, because God's always been my father. You know, when I got born again at 16 years old, all the men that were trying to take me under their wing were not very good people, you know, and they were dangerous men. And it could have led me to a life that could have been very violent and very short-lived. And, you know, God, I didn't want that. And so I started seeking God and, you know, I started questioning God, you know, are you real? And I went at it from the point of view that, yeah, I believe that he is real. I'm going to have to believe he's real if I'm going to go after seeing if he's real. And so I did Hebrews 11:6. And of course, God blessed me. He showed me that he was. And I got born again and the rest is history. Now, in all this time, you know, I've always kind of wondered. Every once in a while, I'll wonder who my father was and, you know, who he is and whether he's even alive still anymore, because I doubt that he is. But God started showing me. He says, you know what? We can bring honor to our fathers and no matter what. And even if my father is in hell, which I don't know if he is, I don't know where he's at. And God reminded me of the rich man that was in hell when he looked across the chasm and saw Abraham and I forget the name of the man that was in his Lazarus that was in his bosom, who was very poor and he had died and the rich man had died and Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham and the rich man went to hell. And the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus to his brothers to tell him to not come to this place. And because he understood that what he had sown for himself, he deserved, but he didn't want that for anybody else in his family. And I really believe that whether or not somebody, you know, whether or not my father is in heaven or hell, that it's going to be something that it'll be something that'll cause him to be honored, you know, whether he knew me or not, that when he finds out about me, that he will know, you know, that if I do my part, that he will be blessed. Just like that rich man would have been blessed to know that his brothers got it, that they got a hold of Moses, they got a hold of the law, they got a hold of walking with God rightly. Amen. And I think that a lot of times, you know, we lose sight of the fact that we can still bring that honor, you know. And of course, we bring honor to, if our fathers are alive, these things that I'm going to share with you will bring honor to them even now. And of course, this is a teaching that goes out to the young people, you know, to the children and to the young adults, that this is something that you can do to bring honor to your father. Amen. And as we get in this, hopefully it's going to be giving you some direction on how to do that. Amen. So let's just kind of jump right into this. We bring honor to our fathers by paying them respect. I put this one first because, in a sense, I think that, you know, even if our fathers have passed on, that we can pay respect to them. And, you know, a lot of times they do this by going to the gravesite and, you know, of their parents. People go to their father and mother's gravesite or their father's gravesite and they spend time there just kind of being with them, even though they're gone on and they're gone now. That they do this. Amen. But we don't necessarily have to go to the gravesite to do this. We can take a moment and even if it's just on Father's Day, that we can take a moment to pay them respect. And of course, this is coming out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, and it's the first part of it. It says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Now, the word corrected there is actually the word paiduetes, and it means a trainer, a teacher, by implication, a discipliner, a discipliner. So, I mean, I don't think any of us liked getting disciplined when we were younger. But and some of us could have gotten attitude about it and been angry about it. But we need to understand our parents, especially our father, they have the responsibility to train us up and to teach us, and then also to be the one who disciplines us. And of course, I'm not circumventing the mom. She obviously has that place. You know, the women have been commanded to be home managers over the children, to manage the house. And so the women that can do that, that's awesome. And of course, we help them as we can. We do our part as we can as men. But in this case, you know, Paul's making this statement. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. And I think that as men, we have a tendency to be a little bit stronger in our correction than maybe the women are. And I'm going to tell you, my mom wasn't very soft with us, especially with us boys. She had a tendency to let my sister get away with stuff, but not us boys. She was pretty rough on us. And she was trying to match up with being like trying to be our father as well, because men are stronger and they have a tendency in that strength to discipline in accordance with that. And so sometimes we can get an attitude, and we can take the place of rejecting or getting attitude and not really paying attention. But take a moment and pay them respect. And the word there for paid respect is actually the word entrepo there, which means to invert literally. But in a good sense, it means to respect. To respect. And I looked up, you know, some, you know, synonyms for this and what respect and how respect can look. And God blessed me with some good insight. It means to esteem, to appreciate, and to obey. And so paying respect to our fathers. Now, I've never met my father, so I wouldn't be able to do this. But as God is my father, there's things that, you know, that I esteem about him, that I appreciate about him, that I obey in the sense that's paying respect is being obedient. Amen. And what I would do is, even if your father isn't here, now if your father is here, take some time, go to them and show them some respect, show them some appreciation, show them some esteem. Amen. Both my kids sent me texts this morning. They obviously couldn't be here for Father's Day. And they both sent me texts this morning. And they spent that moment in that text to show me, to esteem me as their father, and to appreciate me, and to share with me just how they appreciate what I've done for them. And they listed some things that to them were really central to their respect for me as their father. And I think that would be something that would be awesome if you could do that. If any young people are listening to me, paying respect to your father, take a moment to esteem them. To esteem means to find what's good about them and what is worthy of praise. You know, what are they doing in your life that blesses you, that tells you, you know, I'm glad that they're my father. I'm glad that they're in my life, that they're helping me. Find something. Amen. Find a way to do that. Even if your fathers were really hard and hard men and hard people, find that one thing that gives you the ability to esteem them and appreciate them. Amen. And then of course it means to obey. And of course, you know, if your fathers have passed on, then that's not something we could do now. But young people, what is it that your father has given to you that you will obey? Amen. And show that obedience, you know, to your fathers, especially you young people. Obviously, as we get older, you know, we move on in life, and you know, the impact of the parents on us becomes less and less in the immediate sense. But what they have sown into us, doesn't change. That's there. And sometimes we can, you know, we can look down on it, you know, and or, you know, despise it when maybe we should be paying attention to it and listening to it. Amen. So bring honor to your fathers and pay them respect. You know, take a moment to pay your father respect. And I love that because my kids did that for me this morning. They got to me early. I woke up. Brian, since he's 3 hours ahead, you know, he already had that there, and it was, and he had already sent me a good text, blessing me, loving on me. My daughter came right after that, did the same thing, you know, blessing me and loving me. And I appreciated it. It was something that blessed me as a father. Amen. It made me being a father worthwhile. You know, it's because sometimes as fathers, we can, you know, especially if we're, you know, if we're facing our failures or if we're looking at things that maybe, you know, we could have done better, we can tend to be, you know, pretty hard on ourselves. And so at that point, you know, hearing that can actually help us be blessed as men to think that, hey, you know what, I'm doing something right. Amen. Amen. The second thing that we do to bring honor to our fathers is by listening to them. This is from Proverbs 23:22a, and I'm putting this in the NIV. I listed this in the NIV because I like the last part of this verse. This is also, you know, the whole verse goes on, but this part is the part that's significant, you know. And it says, "Listen to your father. Listen to your father who gave you life. Who gave you life." Now, in the New King James, it actually says, "Who begot you." But begot kind of, you know, it means something a little bit different in the context of this. And just some things that I thought that the NIV was, what it would be a blessing to share from. Amen. Now, listen to your father. The word listen there is actually the word shema. And it means to hear intelligently with attention, obedience, etc. And it means, but listen to this. It's translated attentively sometimes, carefully, diligently and obedient, okay, to listen, you know, and it can carry those significant meanings along with it, being attentive, being careful, being diligent, and then, of course, being obedient. Now, for you younger people, you know, one of the ways you honor your father and bring honor to your father, because when you listen to your father and you obey what they tell you to do, you take to heart what they're instructing you on, and you put it to work in your life. There were many things that I shared with my son and with my daughter about, you know, what's out there in the world and what they were going to confront with the world. And I didn't try to shelter them from it. I told them what they were going to face, and I told them, and I gave them some things and some ways by which they could handle that, by which they could deal with it. I did my best. I wasn't perfect. But one of the things that I really taught them was, you know, to really pay attention to people around them and not get caught up in trying to please people, but really pay attention, you know, in the sense of what people are saying and what they're doing, because you'll find out, you know, what kind of people they really are and whether or not you really want them to be your friends. And I really kind of hammered that into them when they were in high school and so on, as they were growing up and getting into high school, because I knew that there was going to be a lot of influence. There was going to be some things that would really come, you know, at them in order to try and take them away from God and to draw them to other people, to listening to them and following them rather than following, you know, wisdom. And, you know, and Brian, both Andy and Brian listened to that. They followed that. They diligently, Brian told me, he said, "I did what you told me to do. I paid attention, and you couldn't believe the things that I saw because I paid attention. And I really watched with my eyes open to how people were being." And that's what that's talking about. It's not necessarily talking about in that moment when dad tells you to go rake the yard or, you know, dad tells you to go clean your room. That also, you know, you should listen to your father and go do what he asked you to do. Same way with your mother. I'm not diminishing moms at all here. But to listen and to hear it, that is something that as young people you can do, that you should be doing. This is a way you honor your father and your mother. You listen to what they tell you. You pay attention to it. And if there's something else that's coming along to take you away from that, and you know that what they're doing is trying to help you and to really prevent you know, damage to your life, don't let it go. Listen to it, follow it, and keep it. Now, as far as for us as fathers that are older already, you know, if you're, and even if you're not a father yet, but you're older, you know, and if your father is still around, take some time and get your father to talking and let him tell you stories about his life. Spend some time listening to your father, paying attention to what he says. You know, sometimes we do something Father's Day and we do something extravagant for the fathers, and then they're sitting around just being, you know, quiet, watching everybody else. When we need, if we want to really honor our father, take a little time and spend time listening to them. Let them talk. Let them share with you some things. And pay attention, because, you know, they drop a nugget of wisdom on you that they didn't even realize that they were sharing. That might be something that's highly valuable to you later on. Listen to it and hear it intelligently. You know, be willing to file that away and think and say, I'm going to think about this later on, because there might be some wisdom to this. You know, it's intense as our parents get older and older. You know, we tend to listen to them less and less. We tend to think that they have anything valuable to really share with us. Well, who cares if it's anything valuable? Take some time to listen to them. Let them talk. Let them speak. Listen to what they have to say. Get them talking. Amen. This brings honor to our fathers. Amen. When we take these times to do this. All right. You know, there are times when Brian gets on the phone with me and he'll just pick at me to talk and share things. And it's a blessing to me, because I know that he's just wanting to hear from me and where I'm going. I have a tendency, you know, when people ask me how I'm doing, I'll say, I'm doing fine. And really, 95% of the time, that's exactly the truth. I am doing fine. I'm doing good. Amen. But sometimes with me, that's not a great conversation starter, you know, because I'm not one to sit there and start talking about problems or talking about issues or talking about this or that. And so my son has learned how to provoke me to talk and get me to talking, you know, to share what's going on. And I respond to it, because it's like, you know what, I see what he's doing, and it's a blessing to me as a father. It's honoring me as a father when he wants to spend time talking to me. You know, when he tells me he misses me, which he does all the time. He misses both of us all the time. And it's a real blessing. Amen. Spend that time. Now, if your father is already passed on, take a moment during Father's Day. Take a moment. Doesn't have to be all day. Doesn't have to be 10 minutes even. Take a moment and think back and reflect back to when some of the things that your father said to you. Some of the things that he spoke to you. And listen to them again. Hear them again. Open your heart up to hearing him talking to you. Remember, remind yourself of those things that he used to talk about and used to say. Even if some of it wasn't even really godly. Even if some of it was just kind of natural. Open your mind and heart and just listen to him for a moment. Bring that honor. Reconnect in that sense. Because I really believe that God wants to heal even when people are no longer around. God wants to heal us with them. You know, with our parents, you know, with our fathers, with our mothers, and so on. Amen. So bring, you know, when you take that time to listen, you know, you bring honor to your father. Amen. And I hope you understand that obviously, when people have died and passed on, you know, you can't sit there and physically go talk to them. You can't pray and ask God to let them talk to you. But you can certainly remember the things that they used to talk about and used to say. My mom, I can remember, I can sit there in the dining room, which was our place where we gathered together, whether it was for a meal or whether it was for cards or whether it was just sitting there and relaxing, the things that she would talk about and that she would say. Amen. We can do that with our fathers. Amen. Take the time. Take a moment. Take a moment. Even if it's just one thing, take a moment and listen to it. And let that reconnect you to your father. Amen. Now, for those whose parents are alive, this is specifically for the parents who are alive. We bring honor to our fathers by helping them. Now, obviously, this plays for both father and mother because of the scripture. But think about this for a second. Mark 7:9-13 says, He said to them, this is Jesus talking, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift to God. In other words, anything that that person might be able to do to help their parents is korban. In other words, a gift to God, so they don't have to do anything for their parents. Jesus goes on to say in verse 12, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother. Making, verse 13, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Now, this is an obvious kind of encouragement and exhortation. If you're younger, you know, every once in a while, if you want to bring honor to your father or your mother, if you want to bring honor to them, go to them and ask them, what can I do to help you today? How can I help you? What can I do for you? Amen. What is the one thing that I can do for you? You know, I mean, help them clean the house. Help them take out the trash. Help them, you know, pick up trash in the yard. Rake the leaves. Do whatever. Help them by cleaning up. I mean, if you've got stuff laying around in the living room, go pick it up and put it away. Amen. Especially if you're younger kids. Teenagers, what are some things that you can do for them? Hey, dad, mom, can I go get you anything from the store? Do you guys need anything? You know, let me go get you something. What do you need? You know, because sometimes, you know, as we get older as men, we need help lifting things. You know, I mean, there were times when if Brian, when he was still living with us, if we needed help with something, I would say, Brian, I need your help with this. And if he wasn't doing anything critical at that moment, he would hop up and go help me with it. If he was in the middle of something, he would say, dad, can you give me a minute and I'll be right done. Or if it was going to be a bigger thing, like I would tell him, Brian, I'm going to need your help with the garage. And of course I wouldn't expect him to get up and go out there and start working with me. I would let him know that, hey, I'm going to work on it this weekend, or I'm going to do it, or when can you help me with it? I would ask him, when can you help me with this? When can you do this? And he would give me the time, and sure enough, at that time he would be right there doing it, working on it. You know, what can we do to help? Because sometimes, you know, we need the help, but fathers, especially those of you that are getting older, we can have a tendency to think, well, I can just do this myself. And sometimes we need help with things that would make it easier on us. You know, I know I'm still strong in many ways. I can pick things up and move them around and kick the boxes around and stack them and go to the storage and you know, get up there and put things away and take them down and do all this stuff. But I can guarantee you the next day or two, I'm going to be hurting for doing that, you know. And to have somebody, you know, as fathers, to have one of our kids come along and say, what can I do to help you with that? Let me do some of this. Here, let me get up there. And it was intense because when I'd have to go straighten out the storage unit, you know, Brian, when he would come with me. He says, I'll come with you. And he'd come with me. And we'd be in there. And he said, no, let me get up on the ladder. Here, you hand it to me and I'll put it up there. Because it required some stretching and doing things like that and twisting and things that could really hurt you if you're not careful. And he would do those things for us. Whatever it is. Amen. And especially if you still have parents that are older, you know, that are alive and are older, you know, check in on them. Is there anything you need that I can go do for you? You know, if there's something physical around the house that needs to be done, I can't do it right now. Let me know and I'll come by this weekend and help you do it. You know, stuff like that. And even if it's only for half an hour, an hour a day, doing something for them, that's bringing honor to them, people. Now, let me share something with you. God said to me right now, this is hot off the press, and it's a little strong, but it's not meant to discourage. It's meant to help you, okay, just so you know this, all right? You know, he said to them, verse 9, all too well, this is Mark 7, 9 again. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Now, I'm going to stop right there, okay? And I'm going to point something out. Listen to me very carefully. He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. That was a very strong statement, and Kids that became super rebellious and super spiteful to their parents were many times taken out of the city and stoned. They were stoned. They wouldn't allow it in their community. They would not allow that kid to become an influence on the other children in that community. And as a result, that child became an example of what happens when you disrespect your parents, when you curse them. Now, nowadays, right now, the way the government was and can still be in certain states, that right now that the kids can sit there and just spit on their mother and their father without any thought. They can treat them with contempt without any thought. And some of you have grown up and become bitter towards your parents, because of what they've done to you. Now, if parenting, is a hit and miss kind of a thing, the word shows some insight, but it takes gaining wisdom in order to be effective at parenting. And honestly, when I was younger, I didn't really know what I was doing. You tend to lean on how you were parented, but we tried to make changes, to make it better for our kids. We tried to do things differently, but you still mess up. You still fail. You still do things that are counterproductive. It's going to happen. Amen. And see, as kids grow up and they get to know you, as you mature and become better at, being a good example to your kids and being a person who walks in love and tries to do things better, your kids will begin to recognize that, and they'll let a lot of things go, and they'll love you no matter what. But there are times when parents have been brutal and their kids grow up bitter because of that, because of how they were abused on some level. Now listen to me very carefully, what I'm going to tell you. You got to get rid of that bitterness. You got to get rid of it. Because that bitterness is a curse in motion. And the things that will come out of you towards your father and your mother, the things that will come out of you will be a curse towards them. You'll despise them, you'll denigrate them, you'll disrespect them, and it'll be a curse. Now, understand something. They're gonna have to deal with their own sin. God's gonna deal with them over how you might have been treated. But for your sake, let it go, man. Get rid of that bitterness, get rid of that resentment, because your life depends on it. Because it says, let him be put to death. There is a literal curse that comes back. It snaps back on people who curse his father or mother. So God's just letting me know. And I just heard this from God right now. Tell them this. I'm just letting you know that it's time that we get rid of that. We get rid of our bitterness. We get rid of our, our contention and our contempt for our parents and for our fathers. Amen. So please pay attention and listen. Amen. For your sake. This is for your sake. Because it unleashes that curse into your life. That curse of death into your life. Amen. Amen. So, helping our parents. Doing what we can to help them brings honor to them. Amen. Praise God. I hope you guys get that. And I hope you get that part that I just shared with you in the love that it's meant to be. That it's meant to be a helpful thing to you. Amen. We bring honor to our fathers by raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, this kind of plays back on the whole thing of it not cursing father and mother and so on. Is that, when I was growing up, my mom did some things that I thought were just wrong. She would hold grudges against us when we misbehaved and we got out of hand. And, there were times when she didn't talk to us for days. She wouldn't talk to us for days. She would make our meal, throw it on the table and walk out, go to another room. She wouldn't even talk to us. And that was rude. but it's like, I'm not going to say we didn't merit it on some level, but at the same time, that's not really effective discipline. Okay. Just doing that to people is not really helpful. Because after a while, after a day or two, the kids, we just got to the point where hey, we're just going to go about our business and whatever. And you know, at those times, we were already getting older. You know, we weren't just kids. We were like, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old. Amen. So it didn't really help her cause with us. Amen. But as I grew up and got older, I realized that I didn't want to do that. I wasn't going to stick my kids in the corner and have them kneel on the on a hard floor for an hour in the corner. I made some decisions that how I was going to do things that was going to be different from my mom, you know, and how she did things. And also in the midst of that, there was a couple of things that she did with us that we thought were valuable in the sense of correcting and disciplining and in a sense punishing. You know, we still spanked our kids when they were little. Now, we didn't beat them. We didn't get out of control. One of the things that my mom did that I thought was really awesome, and even when I was getting my butt whooped, I respected her for it, was that she controlled her anger. She controlled herself in how she disciplined us in the sense of spanking us. Now, nowadays, you can't spank your kids, man. That doesn't work, you know, because they'll just turn you in and you'll go to jail for it. But, you know, the point being now is that, you know, back then, rather, that was normal. That was how people were normally disciplined. But she was very controlled when a lot of parents weren't controlled. Sometimes they'd start whooping on you. And if you moved out of the way, they wouldn't stop. They'd just keep hitting you, you know, and they'd get you in the back. They'd get you on the legs. My mom she made a point that she was only going to hit us on the butt. That was the padded part. And she would tell us, that's the part God gave me to whoop you on. Not the rest of you, just your butt, you know? And it was something that I brought with me, and I thought, you know what? That showed control. And even when we did discipline our kids, we did it in a controlled manner. Amen. But, you know, where we really tried to change is that we tried to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It wasn't about just spanking, it wasn't about any of that. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if we spent more time bringing our kids up in the training and admonition of the Lord, we would probably have to discipline them less, you know, in the sense of spanking them or punishing them. Nowadays, it's take away their phone, take away their game console, make them, you know, stay in the room. I mean, we had to do that stuff too. I mean, she would, you know, make us, you know, stay in the room for days, you know, in the house. We couldn't go out and play, you know, and I think she hated it as much as we did. You know, because she liked having some peace and quiet when we were out playing, you know, and she would tell us sometimes, this hurts me worse than it does you. And I believe her because, you know, when we were rambunctious, man, you had four boys, two girls, and, you know, that we didn't understand quiet, you know. And so that's the way. But the thing that we didn't get, and my mom would try to bring us up in the sense of nurture us. And she wasn't really a nurturer. But she would try to train us up with some ideas, with some teaching, you know, about how we ought to behave, how we ought to, you know, mostly how we ought to behave, things that we should and shouldn't do. And she was good about that. But the thing that we lacked was being brought up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And that word bring up there is the word ektrephel, and it means to rear up to maturity, to cherish or train. But it doesn't just mean cherish. I think some parents cherish their kids to the point that they let them get away with murder. They let them become self-willed and decide for themselves when they're way too young. You teach kids how to make good choices and you let them decide, but sometimes you don't let them pick and choose in the sense of what they want or what they're determined to have or do that drives the family. I don't agree with that. I think that that's a very dangerous thing. But we have a responsibility to do that. We have a responsibility to rear our children up to maturity, not immaturity. We don't want our kids growing up and being fools. We want them growing up and being wise children. Amen. We want to train them up. There defines that as to nourish up to maturity, to nurture, which means to develop or parent, and then to bring up. And of course, in the training there, the word training is the word paideia, which means tutorage, which is, you know, tutorage is just your education and training. You know, you tutor your kids. In other words, and you got to get this, parents. We've allowed the TV to train our kids. We've allowed teachers to be the trainer of our kids. We've allowed the kids' friends to educate and train them. We as parents need to have that impact on our kids. We need to take the moment, take the time with them individually. Some things you can teach them collectively, but some things you may have to educate them and train them up individually and spend some time with them individually to educate and train them. And then by implication, that also implies disciplinary correction, because children, by the age of two, they learn the word no. And that word no, when they learn the word no, that is the first sign of becoming self-willed. And the one thing that we've got to drive out of our children is being self-willed. They cannot do that. They cannot determine the course of their life at 3-4 years old. That cannot be the case, because otherwise you will go shopping with your kids, and if they can't have what they want to have and you don't give them what they want, they're going to throw themselves on the floor and have a fit and scream and yell and cause you shame in the middle of the store. Amen. And so you got to bring them up. Sometimes you got to correct them in a disciplinary manner. But if you educate and train them effectively, and effectively requires work, it requires development in you to understand what that means. Amen. And Thayer really adds a good insight to this. The whole training and education of children is really about cultivating the mind and morals. You know, my mom, when I was her first child, and she spent a lot of time teaching me things like the ABCs, how to count to 100 before I ever started school. I knew how to spell. I could read a little bit. I was able to put together one day, and I remember this at a very young age. I looked up and saw hospital, and I was able to spell it out and understand that that word meant hospital. And it blew her mind. But she began teaching me to read, to spell. I knew my alphabet. I knew how to count to 100 before I went to kindergarten. And as a result, by the time I got to kindergarten, they were ready to push me up to grade 2, to the second grade. And my mom said, no, he's too young for that. See, this is what I loved about my mom. She said, no, he's too young for that. If he goes to second grade, he will never be able to socialize. I mean, she was smart, believe it or not. He would not be able to develop socially really correctly, because there will be such an age difference between him and the people in his grade. And so she says, you can send him to the first grade, because I was bored in kindergarten. I was sitting there watching everybody going, oh my God, I already know all this. I knew it. I knew everything they were teaching. I knew it all. Plus. And so I was made to go to first grade, you know. And in first grade, I started off in first grade, of course, getting A's and everything else. But that was my mom training me up, cultivating my mind. And she did work on cultivating my morals. The only problem is she didn't live up to her own cultivations. And so, parents, we've got to set the example. If we're going to teach our kids morals, we've got to live those morals. Otherwise, your kids are not going to learn morals based on what you tell them. They're going to learn morals based on what they see you live. And that's how it's going to be. And then, of course, admonition. It means calling attention to, and by implication, mild rebuke or warning. Admonition, Thayer defines it as admonition, which in and of itself means reprimand, scolding, and warning, and then exhortation. So we spend, as parents, we will spend a good amount of time warning our kids, scolding our kids, training our kids, educating our kids, and in addition to all that, and maybe as a part of all of that, training them up and educating them in the Word. Spend some time reading the Bible with them. Eva used to, when they would stop school in the summer, she would go through the whole book of Proverbs for the summer with Brian and Andy together and teach it to them as they were going along. I mean, that's training them up in the admonition of the Lord. Amen. And both my kids are word-oriented because of that. They remember these things. So we bring honor to our fathers by raising our child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. People, you need to understand something about your parents. Some of you that have immigrant parents already know this. You know, you already know this. Your parents came in to try and set up everything they did was for you to be able to improve upon. They weren't perfect. They didn't maybe even know the language very well, but they came in, they worked as hard as they could. They did everything they could to get you an education, to bring you up to a higher level. And that's what honors them, is when you step into that higher level. And it should be the same for us when we parent our children, that we do it on a higher level. And that brings great honor to them. Amen. Great honor to them. Glory to God. I didn't mean to take so much time on this, but, you know, I just thought I'd share some of these things in order for you guys to really understand that, you know, part of training up your child, it involves discipline. It involves scolding sometimes. It involves educating them and training them. Training is repetitiousness. And sometimes you got to be standing right there by their side, doing it with them so that they're doing it, so that they develop that through that repetition, they develop that good habit, that discipline of doing whatever it is. For example, we do it with them brushing their teeth. We'll go in there and we'll brush our teeth with them. You know, we teach them how to brush their teeth. We'll show them how to do it. And then we'll stand there and brush our teeth with them. We'll pay attention. We'll make sure they brush their teeth for a proper amount of time. You know, we do that. That's training people. That's what we do. And just apply that as they grow up into other areas. Amen. Now, this is a slight deviation. That this is something that this is really bringing into focus how we bring honor to our fathers. Amen. You know, this is something that we do as children. You know, as we are adults and as we are growing up, this is what we do to bring honor to our fathers. Proverbs 23:24a, it says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice." The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And greatly rejoice is they'll exult, they'll celebrate you. They'll be glad, they'll rejoice over you. Amen? There's nothing worse than a child that's a fool that causes shame. Amen, to the father. You know, we've covered many of those scriptures in our studies on Proverbs. Amen. But the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. This is something that you've made the decision to do as a person. Amen. This is something that we all need to make the decision to do. Now, I'm going to hit this from an Old Testament perspective a little bit. I know righteous in the New Testament is we live by faith, we walk with God by faith, and certainly you can apply that to this as well. But some of the other concepts of this from the Old Hebrew, tzaddik is the word in the Hebrew for righteous, and Strong's defines it as just, that's the only word there, just. And when I looked it up, it means honorable and moral. You know, we want to be honorable men and people, not just men, but people, men and women. We want to be honorable and moral. And that means, you know, minimally we're keeping the Ten Commandments. Just start off with that. We do this because we want to live and walk rightly in our lives. Brown Drivers Briggs defines that word righteous as just, you know, which is honorable and moral, but it adds lawful. Lawful, that we want to keep the laws of the land. We don't go around violating the laws of the land. We keep the laws of the land. You know, we're not criminals. We're not being underhanded. We're not cheating on our taxes. You know, we're not speeding around when we shouldn't be. We're not, you know, violating traffic laws. You know, we're not in some way abusing and taking advantage of our jobs in a thieving kind of way. You know, we're lawful, we're honorable and moral in the way we walk in our lives. And the more I get older, the more I wanna be a person that is honorable and just making sure that I'm keeping the law, that I'm being right with God, I'm being right with the people around me, I'm treating people right. Amen. That's how we honor our fathers, people, is by being, you know, is by walking in righteousness. Not righteousness, but walking righteously. I'm differentiating a little bit. Amen. We bring honor to our fathers by walking righteously. You know, determining to be good people in the sense that we keep the law. We treat people with respect. Amen. We don't abuse people. We don't abuse our families. We don't abuse our marriages. We don't abuse our jobs. You know, if we have people working for us, we don't abuse our workers. You know, we walk just and fair. You know, we're honorable, we're moral. And people can see that about us. We have integrity, if you want to look at it that way. Amen? Praise God. So we honor our fathers by walking righteously. We bring honor to our fathers by loving wisdom. Amen? Proverbs 29:3a says, whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice. And the word love there is the word ahab, which is the, you know, transliterated, it's the word agape in the Greek. And the word ahab specifically means to have affection for, to love. It means to love and have affection for. Whoever loves wisdom, whoever has a heart for wisdom, whoever has an affection for it, whoever binds themselves to wisdom with that love. And it's interesting, I went to look up this word, and I've been teaching on wisdom for over a year now. And there's so many definitions out there, and every so often I get a new one and I bring it in. And yesterday when I was prepping this message, finally, I decided to look it up online to see what kind of definition there was. And I got a definition from Google AI. Believe it or not, Google AI gives this definition of wisdom. And I thought it was so appropriate that I put it in here. It says, in the Bible, this is Google AI's definition of wisdom. It starts off, in the Bible, wisdom is more than just knowledge. It's the ability to discern what is right, what is good and true, and to act accordingly, often with a focus on God's will and purposes. It involves understanding life from God's perspective, making sound judgments, and living a life that reflects God's character. The Bible emphasizes that true wisdom originates from God and is often acquired through fear of the Lord. And then it puts in parentheses, awe and reverence. So through the awe and reverence of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, and a desire to learn his ways. A desire to learn his ways. I was flabbergasted when I read this. I thought this was so all-encompassing in what we're going after here. But we bring honor to our fathers by loving wisdom. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice. There's nothing greater than a parent, than a father. And we're talking about fathers, so I'm going to stick with fathers, but this includes the mothers. There's nothing more exhilarating. There's nothing more joyful. There's nothing more honoring to us than when we see our children becoming, you know, wise, that they're going after wisdom. They want to grow. They want to become more. They're going after God in a way to understand him, to understand how he sees the world, how he sees their life, you know, and they want to have wisdom. They want God to give them wisdom so that they can honor him. And as a result, they honor their father. They honor their physical father. So we honor our fathers when we love wisdom and we go after it. We have that heart connection to hunger and thirst after wisdom. Amen. And to have that desire at the very end there, to have that desire to learn his ways, God's ways. Because that's what wisdom is. God teaches you his ways in a way that helps you navigate the pitfalls of this life, to overcome and to bless and be a blessing, to get blessed and to be a blessing to other people, to be blessed and to be a blessing to other people. Amen. And that's what God wants. Wisdom has so much promise to it. And so just going after wisdom, going after that, you know, going after God for that, so that you can become, you know, that person who loves wisdom. Amen. I'm kind of saying it this way on purpose because the next one is going to take that concept of wisdom a little bit differently. But I want you to get this, that it starts with us loving wisdom and going after it, trying to learn God's ways, the ways of wisdom and what it all means. Amen. And finally, we bring honor to our fathers by becoming wise. By becoming wise. Now, this is from Proverbs 15:20a, and this is from the NIV also. It says, a wise son brings joy to his father. A wise son brings joy to his father. Now, the word for wisdom is the word chokmah, and the word for wise is the word chakam. And they're basically the same word, just variations of the same word. And it means wise. That's Strong's definition, wise, and it puts in parentheses, i.e. that is intelligent, skillful, or artful. Amen. Brown Drivers Briggs defines that word as wise, skillful, and shrewd. And shrewd, I put that in there because the word shrewd has a good side to it, which means perceptive and discerning. Perceptive and discerning. It also means learned, prudent. Prudent means sensible and careful. And then I like what Google AI says a little bit further down, and I added it here. It says, wisdom is not merely intellectual knowledge or the accumulation of facts. It's the practical application of knowledge, understanding, and experience to life's situations. And that's why it differentiated them, is because there's that whole, on the front side of it, that we have that love for wisdom, and we want to grow in wisdom. And that brings honor to our fathers by doing that. We honor our fathers by being that kind of a person that loves wisdom and is going after wisdom. And then the other side of that is that we bring honor when we start achieving wisdom. Amen. When we start gaining wisdom and we become wise. Now, I want to break this down real quick a little bit differently. There's wise spiritually. We should all be struggling and striving to become wise spiritually. Amen. But also wise even naturally. Amen. You know, part of that is being shrewd, is being perceptive and discerning. That was one of the things I tried to teach my kids when they were young. Pay attention to how people are around you. Perceive what they're really talking about, what they're really doing, and what they're really about. Discern, you know, whether or not there's a real heart in them for good or for selfishness and going after just satisfying the flesh. Amen. And then there's a piece of that's being learned, growing in knowledge and understanding. I always tell you guys that you should be developing and growing in your knowledge, growing in your skill sets. And that's part of what this is about, is that when you see a wise son, you see somebody that's, they're not just intelligent and understand things, they have skills, you know, and those skills are a blessing for their lives as well as it is a blessing for other people's lives. And they're helpful in that sense. Amen. I mean, I'm a pastor and I teach the word, and so I'm helping you in that sense. But there are times when, you know, people have, you know, need, like, for example, we're online and some people struggle with, you know, might struggle with getting, you know, getting on WebEx or whatever. And as a result, you know, they'll come to me and say, I'm having a problem. And I try to help them navigate through that because I understand how the software works and how it's supposed to work. And some of the things of what, how their computers may be set up that's hindering that or might be problematic to that. And so I try to help them out. Amen. I have some skills when it comes to that. And that's kind of what that's about there, is that, you know, in your job, you learn skills. Otherwise, you wouldn't be working there. You know, they've hired you for your skills. And as you grow and develop your skills, that can cause you to promote and be blessed with an increase in income. It's that kind, that's being wise, people, as well as being wise spiritually, knowing how, for example, knowing how to put your faith to work to get healed. You know, knowing what you need to do to get out of a situation, to get the victory in a situation that's come against you. You know, that's being wise, knowing how to do that. Amen. So we bring honor to our fathers by becoming wise. Amen. I hope this was helpful to you guys in the sense of just not just being a blessing, but giving you direction that there are some things that we invest in that brings honor to our parents, and we're not even aware of it. Because what happens if your parent, you know, finds out these things? They have greater pride for you. They have a lot. It's a total blessing to them. It brings greater joy for them. Amen. I love being able to tell my kids that I'm proud of them. You know, that's a very awesome thing. Amen. But it can't be groundless. There's got to be a basis for it. That basis is the thing that they're building that on. Amen. Finishing up strong. A strong dad bears his burdens with grace, with the grace of a king. Wise. A wise dad knows that what he does today makes a difference in all his tomorrows. That one's a heavy statement. I think we could all learn from that one. You know, being a wise person knows that he does today makes a difference in all his tomorrows. Amen. Happy Father's Day, guys.